Hallelujah. God is good all the time. God is good, and God is on the move all the time. More and more each day, it seems like. Man, this thing always interferes with my glasses here, but we're going to make it work. Something that the Lord has really been speaking to me a lot about just in my own personal walk and, just everything that's going on in the world. All the desires of, my heart that I have for the kingdom, for the glory of God, for ministry, for rescuing people, and, things don't always go the way you plan. Amen? They do not always go the way you plan. I never in a million years thought that I would still be a construction worker 10, 11 years after getting rescued. My heart's desire is to be home here with all of you, working day in, day out, expanding the kingdom, expanding the ministry, helping to rescue people. And not that I'm not able to do some of that where I'm at now, but I have no desire to be a construction worker whatsoever. That's not what I desire to do. I desire to build the kingdom. I desire to be a part of ministry 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to be involved with the kingdom. And something that is always a hard thing is you have got to be successful in the right assignment. Amen. You do not want to be successful in the wrong assignment. So there are many opportunities where I could have stopped doing what I'm doing, taking myself somewhere else and dove into stuff that I want to do. That's not what God's called me to do. And everything that we are doing, God is using it to build you for the seasons to come. Amen. So I don't know what the heck I'm supposed to be learning in all these years of construction and building and growing and dealing with heathens and trying to minister to people and getting made fun of and laughed at and joked about and all that stuff. But there's a lot. There's a lot of building. There's a lot of testing. There's a lot of trying. There's a lot of burning. There's a lot of loosing of self and surrendering to God, even when it doesn't feel good. Amen. And that is something that we learn here day in and day out. Allowing God to build the foundation, allowing God to build the house on the foundation that he built. That is priority number one. It has to be done, or as the years go on, and sometimes as the months go on, as you keep getting bombarded, you may fall. If your foundation is not firm, if your house is not built strong, if it's not backed by heaven, these bombardments will take you out. And I know without a doubt in my mind that what we learn here is true and it is real. And it is life-changing, it is life-saving. And without it, we're done for. And I've watched it in my life year after year after year, dealing with all the nonsense that I've had to deal with and go through and be a part of, working out there in the world consistently all this time, have watched and seen how this stuff works and how it will carry you through the times when you wish you were doing something else, but you don't have any other choice but to do what God's telling you to do. Because you want to please the Father, and that's why you do what you do. Amen? So I know without a doubt in my mind that God is training me up. He's raising me up through all this stuff to do something. I don't know what the heck it is for the kingdom, but it's something. And the enemy's always trying to get us weary while we're doing things and staying in position where God has us. And, try and bring those fiery darts and those thoughts that you're having no effect here. You're not touching anybody. You're not changing anybody. I mean, you're watching and you're seeing. People just seem like they're getting worse and worse, but you're hoping for the best. We have no idea who we're touching. We have no idea the seeds that are being planted. We have no idea what's going to happen 2 years from now or 5 years from now from the seeds that were sown by you to somebody who seems like they would never get it. They could get slam dunk, baptized, and filled by the Holy Ghost just because you walked in the presence of the Lord 5, 10 years ago. Amen? So we have to believe. day in and day out, we have to believe, we have to keep the faith, we have to know that the devil is a liar, and the voice of the stranger is going to try and nullify everything you're doing. Amen. So in this, the major things that we have learned here is finding, maintaining, and walking in a blessed routine. There is a blessed routine that each and every one of us is called to walk in and day out. And it's not to say that that routine isn't going to change or shift or things get added to it or things get taken away from it, whatever it may be. But there is a divine ordered blessed routine that each person in God's kingdom has been called to. And it's up to us to find that out, walk in it day in and day out, and stay cheerful, joyful, and fired up in that blessed routine. The devil's plan in our blessed routine is to sway us from that routine and get us into a ritual where we become religious, where we start working not in power, but in going through the motions. Amen? Going through the motions is not going to get you where you need to be. You cannot fake it until you make it in the kingdom. It does not work that way. You've got to be real as can be from day one till we go home. And that doesn't mean you're going to be perfect, but it means you're going to be real with yourself. You're going to be real with your brothers and sisters, and you're going to be real with God. You're going to come to him not trying to fool people, not trying to fool him and get over. You're going to come to him and say, Lord, I blew it. I messed up. Please clean me up and get me back in position. So in this, one of the main things that I learned, and I know this is vitally important for each and every one of us, we talked about it a little bit already, is our foundation. What is our foundation? Where did our foundation start? Something for me, being in construction, you know, foundations are major. You know, we build really big structures, big buildings, multi-millions of gallon water-holding tanks and stuff like that. And what we start on before we even lay the foundation is vitally important. You can't just go pour a concrete foundation on any ground. That ground has got to be tested. It's got to be sifted. It's got to be tried and true before you can lay the foundation. Amen. So when we come in here, and I'm not just saying when we first start, this is a day in and day out for people that have been walking with Jesus for 20 years. There is a constant sifting going on. Amen. There is a constant sifting and going through to get rid of the garbage so that the foundation that gets laid is strong enough to hold the building on top of it so that we can do the work that God has for us. Amen. We don't want to start with a great foundation and then start building great, and then this section of the house over here is built a little bit more ghetto and rigged and trashy, because that part is going to cause it to crumble. So there are so many areas in our lives that God sees that we can't see them all the time. But when we live a life of true surrender, he allows us to see and figure out everything that we need to figure out and do when it's time. And we'll go to Psalms 127, simple, quick scripture. I love this scripture, man, and it's powerful, it's mighty, it's very simple, but it says a lot. And it says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. So what does that mean? What that means to me is it doesn't matter what motions I go through, if God is not the center, if God is not the one who's in charge, if God is not the one who is doing everything, if I'm not completely surrendered to him and his plan, everything I'm doing is for nothing. And I'm going to end up falling on my face. Acts 4, 5 through 12. So day in and day out, God is working on us. He's sifting us. He's showing us things. He's exposing things. He's removing things. And his ultimate goal is to get us standing on a firm foundation, walking in a blessed routine, so that we can be an excellent minister to him and an excellent minister to those that are in need. And in that order, we must first minister to him so that we can be a minister to those that are in need. Acts 4, verse 5 through 12. Let's speak it together. It says, "And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?'" So they're talking about somebody got healed, made well. And, of course, the scribes and Pharisees were aggravated about it. I think this is when they were talking about it, where they did it on the Sabbath day or something. I don't remember exactly. But so they said, and when... Together, done this. Okay. "So then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." You know, when I was reading this, man, I could just see the aggravation that the disciples had to deal with these people who were running around proclaiming to be Christians, running around talking about God, quoting scripture and all this stuff, but as far from saved as anybody could possibly be. Amen. And it's vitally important for us as believers, for the body of Christ as believers, to constantly be searching ourselves through and examining ourselves to make sure that we're not in this same state of being as the scribes and Pharisees. Amen. That we are walking in the power of the Holy Ghost. We're not worried about religious beliefs. We're not worried about the nonsense that people care about. We're concerned about what Jesus cares about. And we're manifesting the fruit that Jesus wants us to manifest. Amen. We don't want to build a house that's going to crumble. We want to build something that's going to last. And we want it to last because we want to be pleasing to him, and we want to help other individuals get to that place where they can be pleasing to him and get rescued. Amen. So in this, in order to create and build a firm foundation, it first starts with the sifting, getting the ground prepared, getting your spiritual ground prepared, going through, allowing God to expose you, to remove those things, to show you those things. We did not come here because we had arrived somewhere already. We did not come here because we were already perfect and we know everything and we can do anything. And we came here because we needed help. We came to Jesus because we needed help, because everything we had been doing failed. Everything we had done made us miserable, wretched, disgusted, got us locked up, got us in all kinds of trouble. So we came to him because we need him. Amen. The issue that we have a lot of times is pride. Pride is a killer. Pride will cause you to not see everything that God is trying to expose. So we have got to come to a place where we get into complete submission and surrender to God. This is the vital key to the sifting, to the preparation of the ground, so that God can lay the foundation that is needed. Complete submission to him. And what does that look like? Everything you thought you knew has to go. Everything. We're not bringing anything to the table but a broken spirit and a contrite heart. That's it. We're broke. God's going to fill it. God's going to build it. God's going to do it. Amen. So loosen yourself from everything from before, everything you knew, everything you thought, it's got to go. Those old habits, those old mindsets, the old knowledge, the stuff you thought you learned, if you try and bring that with you into the new, it's going to distort what God's trying to do in this new season. And it's going to open the door to the voice of the stranger to bring doubt and unbelief with what God's trying to teach you. And that is the enemy's priority, and taking a blessed routine and turning it into a ritual where you're going through the motions and you have no power, is those little fiery darts that come in from past nonsense to bring a little bit of doubt, and then you start questioning things. And then it's just one little thing. That doesn't seem right. I remember it like this. Then next thing you know, there's another thing. There's another thing. And before you know it, the doubt is overwhelming your mind and your spirit so much you begin to completely turn away from everything new that God's trying to do and end up in a place where you were before you came to him. So these are vitally important things that we have got to pick up on. There must be complete submission to God with no questions asked. No questions asked. Complete surrender is vital to laying a firm foundation and overcoming the voice of the enemy. We are the ones that allow the voice of the enemy to win or to turn our routine into a ritual. So we must stay fired up and be zealous for the Lord. And the only way to do that is to completely surrender and press him with everything you have and accept change. Accept the new. Accept what people that have been put in position over you are telling you and teaching you and showing you and trying to help you with. And I'm telling you right now, I learned this a long time ago. Even if, God forbid, something that somebody teaches you is wrong, God will honor your obedience and make it right. Because your heart is set to be obedient and do the right thing in the eyes of God, he will reward it, even if what they're telling you is wrong. That is how the kingdom principle works. 9 times out of 10, what they're telling you is not wrong. But rest in that, knowing that God rewards the obedient. He will make a way where there seems to be no way for the obedient. Amen. Titus 2. The enemy is tricky. He is slippery. And he's trying to do everything he can to bring dullness and remove the power that God's people have. And he does it in a way where it doesn't even seem like it's him. A lot of times you actually think you're justified in what you're thinking, what you're believing, and what you're seeing. And little by little, you start to get bored with something, or things start to get a little bit less exciting or whatever. And it's like, oh, I got to do this again, and we got to go here again, and we got to sing that song again, and we got to say this prayer again. And that is the voice of the devil. I'm telling you right now. It may seem like, oh, why do I have to do this again? That's an open door for doubt to come in, for weariness to come in, for discouragement to come in, and it grows and bears fruit for the enemy. It starts with one little thing, and it grows and gets big. And then the next thing you know, you're depressed, you're oppressed, you're not taking care of business, you're not taking care of the things you need to take care of, and you're grumbling and complaining all the time. You're frustrated about the things you have to do. When the true reality is, it's supposed to be exciting. It's supposed to be freeing. And it's supposed to be a blessing to the Lord. The enemy is trying to make it about us when it's about Jesus. Amen? Titus 2, verse 11. I don't know where that's at, but I'll get there. And just so you know, I'm not here barking at people about a bunch of stuff that I don't deal with. I deal with it, so I'm talking about it. Amen? We all fight this battle. We all are believers. We've all been around a little while. We all deal with weariness. We all deal with discouragement. We all deal with the voice of the stranger. What we're doing is exposing it so that we can grow from it and we can kick the devil's butt and live in the reverence, the fear, the honor, respect, and the fire that we're called to live in and the zealousness that we're called to live in. And see those things that the enemy tries to use to bring destruction in our life and in our walk. And try and make things dull so that we're powerless. Titus 2, 11 through 15. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. So we see that this is an awesome way of walking in a blessed routine, and that is our responsibility to stay zealous, to stay empowered, to stay in the fear of the Lord, and to walk in good works, and to walk and practice our blessed routine. It is our responsibility to make things new. Jesus never gets old. The voice of the enemy will try to convince you that he does. When the enemy gets you in the mindset of being tired of something or bored, you begin to drift from routine to ritual, from excitement to dullness. This is a false reality that the enemy uses to keep God's people dull and powerless. We have to stay fired up. We have got to find a way to make sure that we stay fired up and excited about what God has done for us. The things that he has done, the accomplishments that he's allowed in our lives, the walk that he's given us, the freedom that he's given us, the love that he's given us. So many times we forget where we've come from. We forget where we've come from. We grumble and complain about the little things that we feel like aggravate us, or this should be different or that should be different. Who are we to say what God's divine order should be? Amen. We're called to walk in God's divine order and to find peace in everything he brings. That's our job. That's our duty. That is our responsibility. We've been given the tools for it. We've been given the training for it. None of us has an excuse to not do it. It's the voice of the enemy that comes in so slick and uses one little open door to get you to a place where you have no idea how the heck you got there. So we've got to remember to keep our eyes and ears open to what voice is speaking to us. If something that you should be doing is bothering you or boring you, that should be a red flag to say, wait a minute, who told me that that's boring me? Who told me that that's bothering me? Who told me that I don't like this or I don't like that? It was the voice of the stranger. So we've got to constantly be using the tools that we've learned here, not allowing the voice of the stranger to dictate our thoughts, actions, and get us to a place where we're weary, discouraged, and dull, and powerless. Amen? Proverbs 18. And what we speak and agree with is a major, major, major key to all of this. The moment you speak it into the atmosphere, it gains power. You speak it, you believed it, you received it. So it starts bearing fruit for the glory of the enemy. And we're not here to bear fruit for the glory of the enemy. We're here to bear fruit for God. We're here to kick the devil's stinking butt, because he deserves no glory. So we're going to go to Proverbs 18, verse 4 through 21. So there's a lot of things that stick out here, man. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that show what coming out of a blessed routine does, getting into a ritual, different fruits that are exposed with it. It brings bondage. It brings laziness. It brings compromise. It brings complacency. It brings fear. It brings worry. It brings bad decision-making. All these things are fruits of falling out of a blessed routine and into a ritual, where you're going through the motions. You're not walking in power. You're not walking in authority. You're not walking in faith. You're walking in nonsense. So nonsense is starting to bear fruit in your life. So 18 verse 4, it says, the words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. It is not good to show partiality to the wicked or to overthrow the righteous in judgment. A fool's lips enter into contention and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his destruction and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles and they go down into the inmost body. I just want to stop right there for a minute. It's talking a lot about what you're speaking, bringing destruction on your life. And that last verse where it says the words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles and they go down into the inmost body. So what you are speaking is taking root deeply within you. For what you speak in the atmosphere, you give power to, it takes root deeply within you. So then you've got to spend a bunch of time trying to break that stuff off. So we've got to monitor our thoughts before we speak stuff out. Amen. And it says, he who is slothful, so now we're talking about laziness, he who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. The rich man's wealth is his strong city and like a high wall in his own esteem. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. So reacting, not responding. The heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. The first one to plead his case or his cause seems right until his neighbor comes and examines him. Casting lots causes contentions to cease and keeps the mighty apart. A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a castle. It's a bondage. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. So what you speak is what you eat. What you eat is what you become. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. We've all heard that a million times, but it's never been truer than it is today. Amen. If something you were supposed to be doing becomes dull or old to you, you need to ask yourself, what am I speaking and agreeing with that's opening me up to this mindset? The enemy is always trying to bring everything back to self. Whatever we do, whatever we're a part of, he's trying to bring eyes back on us. Because if eyes are on us, then what we're doing is nullified. We cancel the power there is in everything that we do by focusing on us and what we want out of it. Worship, prayer, warfare, tongues, it's all about glorifying God, not self. The awesome thing is, though, is when we do all this to glorify God, we get blessed beyond measure. Amen. We do these things for God, to glorify his name and to bring rescue to the lost. But the enemy wants to nullify all of it by making it about us. If everything is about us, we cancel out the power to rescue and to be a minister to God, which then cancels out our protection and opens us up to the enemy more and more. So it is a continuous cycle of destructive behavior when we fall into this state of a mindset. And it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse until you end up out there somewhere in the world doing God knows what and in places that you never imagined you'd be back in. Amen. So it doesn't seem like a big deal, but it's something for all of us to take a look at. You know, every day when we go to our prayer closet, what are we thinking? What are we saying? How are we monitoring what's going on in our morning time? Amen. What voice is the ruling voice in our morning time? Are we excited to get up and kick the devil's butt? Or is it, man, I have to do this again, man. Got to say this prayer again. I got to do this prayer again. The voice of the stranger has come in and robbed your joy, robbed your freedom, and robbed your true identity, if that is where you're at. But the good news is, every day is a new day. So repent and get back in position with them. Find that zeal. Find that fire. Find that power. Re-examine those prayers. Re-examine yourself into why you allowed the voice of the stranger in. What was the open door? What did you agree with? There's a lot to think about, and the devil will try and get you overwhelmed with it. But the bottom line is, if you know you're out of position, you just got to surrender to the Lord again. Amen. Isaiah 28:16. The awesome thing about, you know, walking with the Lord is it's, you know, we're gonna constantly be getting prodded and pruned and sifted and, you know, exposed until we go home. So it's not like you ever get to a place where you've arrived and then you say, oh man, I can't believe I blew it and fell off. I got to start all over again. It's like every day we're starting all over again. Amen. Every day is a new day. Every day, yesterday passed away. So now today is a new day to make things brand new and awesome. Amen. So don't let the devil beat you up. But what you don't want to do is live in a mindset of, well, I can fix it tomorrow, because tomorrow may not show up for you if that's your mindset. We're not looking to get away with stuff. Isaiah 28, verse 16, quick, simple scripture, just a little reminder that, you know, God is always able to rebuild. Okay, I think I'm in the right place. Yeah, it says, let's read it together. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. So again, God is always there to help us rebuild the foundation. Years ago, man, I had this dream. A lot of things come to me for construction stuff. It's because I'm with that stuff all the time and deal with it. So I'm having this dream, and I'm at this place. There was a house in a neighborhood that I grew up in, and it was the strangest thing I had ever seen. So like, the house is sitting there, and you could see like the front of the house was still supported real well. Then in the back of the house, there was like two or three of these big excavators that were like holding the house up. They had like rigging on it to hold it up, and they were trying to put these support beams. They dug out all underneath it, big hole, and they're trying to put these new support beams under there to save the foundation. And when I woke up, I mean, all I could hear was, is you cannot put Band-Aids on stuff. You have to wreck it, knock it down, start all over again. Amen. And when I saw that, I kind of got scared because I was like, golly, man, I've worked hard to, you know, try and practice this stuff, and you know, I made mistakes and whatever. And it wasn't in a sense of like, okay, well, now you got to go back to the beginning, you're starting back in the discipleship house program again, and you know, you got to go through all the stuff again. It was an area where it's like, you haven't arrived, you'll never arrive, but I will constantly help you rebuild. We're not going to Band-Aid things, we're not going to rig things, we're not going to make things junky to where they're going to fall when the storm comes. We're going to make things right. We're going to build it right. So those areas that come up day in and day out from time to time as time goes on, it's not a defeat. It's a win. Because God is structurally making you sound to withstand the winds and the attacks of the enemy for the next season. So it's vitally important that we stay obedient and listening to these things and never allowing pride to dictate what you're thinking about yourself to say, I don't deal with that. I don't have that problem, man. I've been here for 10 years. I don't have those problems. I'm moved right along. I've been here for 3 years, man. I've been sowing my brains out. I've been doing all this. I'm good. I'm covered. Every single day is an opportunity for God to show you something to prevent you from falling on your face one day and losing out on all the people you're supposed to help rescue. Amen. So don't let the enemy get your mind in a bunch thinking that you're doing okay all the time. Okay, so not taking care of what God has entrusted to you is a fruit of falling into ritual. Well, here's a list of a few things that kind of go for everybody, man. Things that we could lose track of taking care of and being obedient of taking care of that we've been entrusted. Our bodies, for one. Our belongings, our chores, our home, our kids, our relationships, marriages, finances, and most importantly, our walk with God. If you see yourself lacking in any of these areas, you know that there is a red flag. You know, there's a lot of things I don't like to do. I don't like to clean my room. I don't like it. I'll do the dishes all day. I'll wipe the kitchen down. I'll clean the kitchen, man. But when it comes to my room, I don't want to do it, man. I don't know why. It just bothers me. But I don't have a choice. Like, it's something that God gave me. He gave me a home. So I'm responsible to take care of that home and to do a good job with it. I'm responsible to take care of the people that God has placed in my life and be a blessing to them and not somebody who's taking away from them. Amen? And when you see yourself getting in a place where you're neglecting these things, and it could be as simple as your chore at your discipleship house. Are you doing your best job on the chore you have at your house? If you're not, check it out. God will openly reward those who worship him in every area. And you worship God in the way you take care of your possessions, your things, your vehicles, your responsibilities. It is worship to God. If you're neglecting them and destroying them, it's not worship to God. Amen? Hallelujah. So neglecting these things shows that you have fallen into a ritual and out of a routine. The more you neglect, the worse you feel. And I don't know if that is the same for everybody else, but the more things build up, the worse and worse and worse you feel. And that's exactly where the devil wants you, is feeling like crap all the time. Amen. Here's the key. If things are out of order, don't allow the enemy to overwhelm you with everything. We reset our foundation by getting back in the position of complete surrender and allow the Lord to build the house. Amen. So no matter where you're at, no matter what's going on, no matter what the enemy is drawing you into or whatever, there's always a reset time. Amen. Reset, refocus, resurrender, and kick the devil's butt. 2 Thessalonians 2, 13 through 17. So guess what I got to go home and do today? Hey, I'll clean my stinking room. Man, I'll jump around a little chore list we have. I'll do the vacuuming of the back porch. I'll clean the dishes. I'll clean the kitchen. I'll even go in there and clean my bathroom from time to time, but I try and skip around on that bedroom for some reason. I don't know. 2 Thessalonians 2, 13 through 17. You know, the worst mindset you can ever get in is, man, I work so hard all the time, I deserve a break. That is the worst mindset you can ever get in, is I deserve a break. That's one of the biggest lies from the voice of the enemy. And it's not that we don't get a break from time to time, but if you are in that mindset that I deserve a break, you'll steadily watch things pile up and never get done. Because that not only is a lie that you deserve it, but it opens the door to laziness, and it opens the door to compromise, and things will build and build and build because you always feel that you deserve to take some time off. Amen. Second Thessalonians 2, verse 13 through 17 says, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth." So we have been chosen. "To which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." So let the Lord be your comfort in everything. When these things start coming up, turn to the Lord. When you start getting aggravated with something, turn to the Lord. There's a way of escape every single time. He's always got a way of escape wherever the voice of the stranger tries to come in. The question is are we listening to the way of escape, or are we listening to what the devil's whispering in our ear? So we'll go to Psalms 149. Obviously, one of the most vitally important weapons and keys to staying in a blessed routine, and should be a part of your blessed routine, is worship. So for us, worship is a part of our blessed routine. We gather together multiple times a week. But this is an area where you have a choice for how you show up and worship. Is it ritualistic, going through the motions? Or is it part of your blessed routine where there's power and deliverance and healing and rescue for the lost and ministering to the Lord? Psalms 149. Let's start at verse 1. It says, "Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song and his praise in the assembly of the saints." We do that on a very often basis. "Let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name with the dance. Let them sing praises to him with the timbrel and harp, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people, and he will beautify the humble with salvation. I don't know about you, but I want to be made beautiful by him. Amen. I want to be a shining light for his kingdom, for his glory. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all his saints. Praise the Lord. So we see that praise and worship, coming in and giving it your all, it's not just touching him. It's not just rescuing the lost. It's not just touching you, but it's also executing judgment on evil globally. Amen. So there is so much power in how much we put into worship here. You're not going to come in here and go through the motions and think that what you're doing is changing anything anywhere. It's not. Doesn't matter how you feel, what you're going through, what you've been through, what you're dealing with in the day. You show up in this room every time and you give your all. With heart, with your spirit, and in truth, you bless him and you come to bless him. Doesn't matter if you feel like you don't like a song. You worship harder in that song. Amen? You press through that song. You beat the devil's butt in that song, because it's the voice of the enemy trying to nullify your worship, trying to bring doubt, trying to bring aggravation, trying to bring fear, trying to bring anxiety, trying to bring anything but God's glory in your life and God's glory globally. So when you step in here, it's about Jesus. It's not about you and what you feel. Amen? And the amazing thing is when you step in here like that, you feel awesome. God shows up and he shows out. It's like a no-brainer. So a few things that, what we'll do, let's go to Psalm 150. We're right here with it. We'll finish that out just to seal the deal with worship. And start at verse 1. You didn't have to go too far. It's right there. Hallelujah. Let's speak it. It says, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So if you didn't get the point in that one, praise him. Praise him all the time with everything you have. Amen. And we're going to close at Romans 12. So there's eight things that I heard and saw of areas where, places where the devil has tried to bring dullness or boringness or tried to rob your zeal or your fire. Just seven things to try and work on and look at to get reset. Amen. Number one is refocus on your prayer life. You know, what is your prayer life about? What is it for? Refocus on the reality of it. Amen. Number two, change it up some. Change it up some. You know, there are things specifically that I know God has called me to pray every single day, but there are also things that change. You know, there's things that we need to be doing differently. You don't have to do the same thing every day. There are some things that need to be, because they're direct, penetrating prayers that are for a specific thing that you need every single day. But there are also areas where God is trying to bring revelation and bring fire, because revelation keeps the restraints on the flesh. So he's trying to bring new things for you to see, to build your faith, and for you to pray for. So as you see these things, you pray for them, and you know that God's showing you what to do. Amen? And it refreshes and revives your prayer life and your time with him. So in that, ask God to show specific prayers to pray for the day. amen, or for the week, or for the month. You know, there's times when I have stuff where I pray the same thing every single day for like a month, and then somehow or some way something will change. It's just how it goes. But just work on finding fire again in your prayers. Like, pay attention to the words that, if you're using the prayer book, pay attention to those words that you're reading. Look at them. Speak them with authority. Don't let it become the going through the motions thing where you get done reading the paragraph and you can't even remember what the heck you just read because you're just going through the motions. Amen? The devil is tricky, man. He's tricky. And when you're going through the motions, there's no power in that. I mean, when you first come in and you're just saying those prayers because, you're holding on to dear life, God's rewarding that action. You know what I'm saying? Even though you probably don't even know what the heck you're speaking it in obedience because you were told to speak it. But as you grow in the Lord and you know what you're doing, you know what you're speaking, there has got to be a focus on what you're speaking and decreeing with power and authority and faith, knowing that what you're speaking is going to go forth and bear fruit. The devil is not afraid of someone who's just sitting there like, yeah. I don't remember what I just said, but I'm going to the next one. You know, we got to be into it. Amen? And that's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to stay zealous in our prayer life. And God will work with you. You know, you get real with him and tell him, Lord, I'm bored to death, man. Show me something. Give me something. I need something. And he'll give it to you. Amen? Because he wants it to be new for you too. So number three, make time to pray in tongues. It's vitally important. You've got to make time to just pray in tongues and get somewhere quiet so that you're not just praying in tongues, but you can also see while you're praying in tongues. Because God will show you mighty, mighty revelations when you're praying in tongues. You will have crazy visions and dreams and all kinds of stuff that's manifesting because of the tongues you prayed. Amen? May not happen the first day you pray in tongues, but as you continue to pray in tongues, you will watch yourself grow in faith because you're going to start seeing some crazy stuff. Believe me. Number four, get quiet and alone with God. Vitally important. Get in a place where you're quiet, where you're alone, and you're just raw and real with God. Show me something, Lord. I'm here to be with you. I'm not over here. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. I'm here in this time to get revelation from you. That vitally important to keep things new and to stay walking in a blessed routine and not in a ritual. Here's a big one, man. Number five and number six are big ones. And I'll explain a little bit. We're not going to get religious or anything. So number five is spend less time on your phone. Spend less time on your phone. And number six kind of goes in with that one. Number six is spend less time in front of the TV. Now, we're not getting religious here and saying you can never be on your phone and you can never watch TV again. It's not what we're saying. But if TV and your phone dictate more of your time than time you spend with God, or revelation you get, or you're seeing that there is weariness or discouragement or oppression or any other issues in your life, then you know you're spending too much thinking time on your phone and in front of the TV and not enough time with God. Amen? There's a time for everything. And if you're in position and right with the Lord and filled with fire and the Holy Ghost, there's going to be time to watch some shows or a movie or, you know, whatever, you get recipes or watching a video on YouTube or whatever. There's time for that. But if that's consuming your time and you're lazy and you're miserable, there's a problem. Amen? Number seven, make time to get in the Word and find some nuggets. Because again, where there is no revelation, it casts off the restraints of the flesh. We live for revelation. We live for new. We live for more nuggets from His throne room. That keeps us excited. It keeps us hungry. It keeps us in faith, knowing that He is real, that He's doing stuff, and it's vitally important. You stop getting revelation, the flesh comes on quick. And then number eight, obviously, is worship. And not just go through the motions worship, but real deal, getting real with the King worship. Amen. So Romans 12, 9 through 21, and we'll close here. This kind of seals the deal, man. It's just a walkthrough of what we need to be doing day in and day out. What a blessed routine looks like. All right, Romans 12, 9 through 21. I'm almost there. All right, let's speak it. Hallelujah. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Hallelujah. So again, take the time, search yourself through, examine your routine, and allow God to lead you and guide you into that place of complete surrender and peace. Amen. And kick the devil's butt out wherever he's come in. Amen. Hallelujah, Father. We love you and we bless you, Lord. We thank you so much for your word. We thank you for how much you put up with us. We thank you, Lord, that you never turn your back on us. You'll never leave us or forsake us. And you're always there to teach us something new, Lord. So we just surrender and submit to you, Father. We thank you for allowing us to come to this house of true and to get our butts whooped so that we can get in position with you and live a good life, a righteous life, and a life that is pleasing to you, and to help other people do the same, Father. So we just thank you, we praise you, and we give you blessing, glory, and honor, Lord. And we ask that you would bless this communion and you would bless the tithes and offerings as they come up, Father. And we just surrender it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen.